Do you spend a lot of time in planes, trains, and automobiles? Then you should try an audiobook. Audiobooks can help you read on the go. And Penguin Random House Audio offers innovative professional tips from successful business influencers such as Charles Duhigg and Sheryl Sandberg, or turn off your work mode and relax with a novel by Jonathan Kellerman or Steve Barry. Visit tryaudiobooks.com for more listening suggestions.
Hello, this is Your Money Matters from the Wall Street Journal from the newsroom in New York. I'm Tanya Bustos. Well, if earnings season has taught us anything, it may have been that investors had low expectations for big banks. How bad did they think it was going to be, and how the market reacted to bank earnings? The Heard on the Street podcast breaks it all down, coming up.
From Wall Street to Main Street to your street, this is Your Money Matters from the Wall Street Journal. Money news that helps your bottom line.
Hello, and welcome to Heard on the Street, the podcast. We are the Wall Street Journal's home for commentary on all things financial all over the world. Reporting from New York, I'm Miriam Gottfried, joined by my colleagues David Riley and Alex Frangos, who is in Hong Kong. Good to have both of you here.
Good to be here, thanks.
Same here, Miriam.
In our second segment, we'll discuss why investors may be baking in too much optimism when it comes to valuing Facebook and Google. But first, Dave is going to talk to us about big banks. Dave, this is your favorite subject, big banks. The banks rallied hard after JP Morgan posted only so-so results and regulators published pretty mixed findings on living wills. Why?
Well, I think it's a combination of things. I mean, first of all, let's keep in mind that after January and February and all the market turmoil, people were really afraid that something terrible was going to happen to the banks. And at the same point, the Fed looked like it's going to be on hold for longer, which it has been, which is bad for the banks. So the bank stocks had gotten slammed. So JP Morgan came out with its results, and it's sort of the bellwether bank. It's the biggest bank in the U.S. It's a global bank. And look, the results weren't great, but they were better than people were expecting. It wasn't the horror show that some had been worried about. So that, I think, just, you know, lifted all these boats because they'd been held down so much.
Dave, the thing I never understood during the sell-off in January and February, and I think that we wrote Heard on the Street columns about basically every good bank in the world saying that they were, you know, oversold. But what was everyone so worried about? Like, what was it that people were expecting in you know, this quarter's earnings that was going to be so bad?
Well, I think it's a combination of things. So on the one hand, it's, you know, think back to January. It's not that long ago, but we sort of forget that there was this fear because you had, you know, oil was continuing to plunge. You had China, which, you know, everyone was worried about China falling apart. And that raised the prospect of some, you know, again, everyone immediately thinks global financial crisis. And if you're thinking some sort of crisis just based on past experience, the banks tend to be front and center with that. So everyone was worried, you know, oh, the banks will be caught up in another storm. And at the same point, because of the storm, you had the double whammy that people said, well, the Fed isn't going to be able to raise rates given what's going on. And so even if there isn't a terrible crisis, that's going to be bad for the banks too.
So why wasn't it bad? I mean, or did we see that in some of the results? You know, we've had Wells, we've had Bank of America already.
Right. So what we've seen, and that's three of the four biggest U.S. banks. The only one we haven't seen yet is Citigroup, and we will on Friday. They weren't great. I mean, you know, it's not like any of the banks have hit it out of the park. I mean, JP Morgan. You think in terms of the ticker symbol sometimes. JP Morgan's results were good. You'd call maybe like a single. In this environment, getting on base is good enough. But, you know, their fixed income trading at JP Morgan at Bank of America was down double-digit percentages. People sort of expected that, though. So it was in line with the lowered expectations, which, in just keeping in mind, in Wall Street investing, it's an expectation game. So if you come in around where the market is expecting or a little bit better, that can be seen as quite good.
And I sort of have whiplash with the banks because a couple months ago it was all about, like, will they survive, you know, the crash in oil and the crash in China, and all the banks were trading below book value, and some of them still are. But now all of a sudden we're back to focusing on results and earnings and all that. And then on top of it, you had this living will announcement that came out literally like within how many minutes of JP Morgan's earnings. I mean, it seems bewildering. Like, how are we supposed to rate banks? How are investors supposed to decide which is the best bank to invest in?
Well, I think it comes down, you know, look, it depends on what you want exposure to. So if you want a more global money center bank, you want JP Morgan. If you want more exposure to the U.S. market and, you know, an eventual upturn in interest rates, you're looking at Wells Fargo and Bank of America. The market gives a lot more credit to Wells Fargo because they're a cleaner story. They just have better returns and better profits. There is a sense of whiplash because we're still, I think, in a lot of cases, you know, still coming out of that crisis period. And if you look at, say, Citigroup, Bank of America, Morgan Stanley, these banks still aren't earning the type of return that covers their cost of capital. So that explains why they're trading at a discount to their book values. And then you ladle on the concern, say, about a global crisis or global downturn or just energy exposure. And that's for, you know, for Bank of America and Wells Fargo, that's a big concern because they do have, you know, tens of billions of dollars in exposure to oil companies, mining companies, oil field services companies.
And that's not going away anytime soon, right? So it seems like you've got that, you've got not really a great prospect for rising interest rates. So, I mean, why should we be optimistic? I mean, it seems like...
Well, I don't think it's a case of optimistic, but I don't think it's... You know, I think the market earlier this year was taking a not that the glass is half empty, but that's completely empty sort of view. And so let's be clear, the prospect for bank stocks right now isn't great, but the sky isn't falling either.
We are going to have to wrap it up there. Be sure to check out our full Heard on the Street podcast at wsj.com/podcasts. Thanks for listening.